Well, welcome everybody to Bible class. It's Mr. Parsons here. I hope you're all very well and hopefully all back at school or shortly to be going back to school. So I wish you all the best with that. And today we're going to be looking at a new series. We're actually going to be looking at a series of lessons in Mark's Gospel. And in particular, we're going to be looking at gains and losses in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark's Gospel is a really wonderful book to start your regular Bible reading. So as you start the school year, why don't you also start reading from the book of Mark? That really might help you. You know, if you're struggling or you don't really know what you're reading, I can recommend perhaps getting a commentary or something from Sir J.C. Ryle on Mark's Gospel, which explains each portion for you. That might really help. So we hope that these lessons will cause those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourselves or remain unconvinced about the need to believe in Christ. We hope that these lessons will really move you and help you to want to know him better and to find him for yourselves. So the lessons today, we're going to start at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. We're going to read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. And we're going to be looking in particular at the role and message of John the Baptist. So we'll read from Mark 1, verses 1 to 15. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all of the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. May God bless that reading of his word to us and help us to understand it. We'll be unpacking some of the key lessons from that piece later in the lesson. Now, today's hymn is hymn number 379. If you have a hymn book on the handout, it's printed for you. It's a hymn by Horatius Bonar, or Horace, as he was known, a Scottish hymn writer who was prolific. He wrote over 140 hymns in his lifetime, and this is a particularly nice one. I'll read the first two verses. Lord, I confess to thee sadly my sin, all I have done and said, all I have been. Purge thou my sin away, wash thou my soul this day, Lord, make me clean. Faithful and kind thou art, forgiving all. Low at thy pierced feet, Saviour, I fall. O let the cleansing blood, blood of the Lamb of God, wash over my soul. And that really links into the lesson today, where we'll be looking at baptism and the need to have our sins washed away in Jesus' blood. But I particularly like the sentiments in the first hymn, where there's a sort of explanation of what repentance is, isn't it? Sadly confessing our sin, all that we've been, and all that we've done, and all that we've said. The Lord Jesus can take that away if we ask him to. And really, that is everything about us, isn't it? It's not like we can keep anything back. All that we've been, done, and said, you know, is basically everything that we've ever been. So it's a really beautiful way of describing the need for repentance. I hope that's been a blessing to you. Now we'll pray before we begin today's lesson. Let's close our eyes and bow before the Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are such a kind and a loving God. Lord, you are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-seeing. And yet, Lord, you are so humble and so kind that you came from heaven to earth, that you left those glorious courts of heaven and came down to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary for us. And Lord, when we see what you did for us, when we see the dreadful price of sin, Lord, how we long to reject all that we've been, all that we've done, all that we've said, Lord, that's been against you, that's been offensive to you. Lord, help us, we pray, to really repent of our sin and come to you for that washing and that cleansing of our souls that only you can do. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are such a loving and a caring God. Lord, not distant, not far from us, but a God that can be known through prayer and through the Bible. Lord, we thank you that you are on every page of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that you will really speak to us today. Lord, send your Holy Spirit down upon each one listening to this message. Lord, help each one come and sincerely repent of their sin before you, that, Lord, they may spend eternity in heaven with you. Oh, Lord, please help each one to understand this message and how it applies to them. Lord, convict those souls who are perhaps in a dangerous position, thinking they might be saved when they're not, or those who are careless and who have no interest. Lord, who are so taken with the things of this world that they don't want to know you. Lord, strike at their hearts, we pray, and open their hearts that they may hear and listen and be changed. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we can spend together. We pray, Lord, that you will bring us back together physically, that we'll be able to meet together as a Bible class in the not too distant future. Lord, help each one now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in today's lesson, we're going to learn about John the Baptist, who he was, and how he points us to Jesus. The title of today's lesson is Preparing for the Saviour. So we're going to be pulling out some of the lessons that we can learn and what we need to do to be saved. So let's think about that notion of preparing. So John was preparing hearts for the Saviour. Let's think about how we might prepare. I don't know whether you've had visitors to stay at your house or at your place, and you've had to prepare for them. No doubt you have to prepare food. That takes a long time, a lot of care and attention. You've had to prepare somewhere for them to stay. You've had to run around. You've had to work hard. You've had to clean and tidy, because actually you want it to be nice for when they arrive. We prepare for visitors to our houses. We'd prepare even more if it was important people coming, I presume. So if we had somebody of note coming to our house, we might prepare even a little bit harder. We might get rid of some things that are eyesores in the house. We might, you know, hoover up and polish and make sure that everything looks superb. In my old job, I worked for a senior politician who, at election time, we would go visiting different cities around the country. We had to prepare for those visits to make sure that when we got to the cities that we were going to, that everything was ready. We had to have a schedule. Everything was managed in minute detail. I remember when I was at school, we had an Ofsted inspection and the teachers had to prepare very quickly because you don't get much notice, you know, for the inspectors coming. They had to run around and put up displays and make sure the classrooms looked nice and made sure that they had enough handouts for everybody. They had to prepare to be seen to be doing the right thing. When I worked at the London Stock Exchange, we had a visit from the Queen. And it's unbelievable the amount of preparation that goes into a visit from the Queen. You get all sorts of information in advance telling you what you can and can't do. And you have to make sure that absolutely everything is in place in advance. They'll send an advance party to your place. They will check everything to make sure it's safe, to make sure that they know exactly what is going to happen and what the Queen is going to do. They will walk the route and they will, you know, make sure that every little thing is looked after. Nothing is left for chance because obviously they need to be really careful and they don't want to be embarrassed. You know, you need to make sure that if you're receiving somebody as important as Her Majesty, that everything is done properly. And it was the same in the olden times. If a king or a noble person was coming from a long way away, of course, it wasn't easy then to get in contact with the person that you're going to visit. So you would often send a messenger ahead of you to go and to warn the receiving king or prince that you were on your way. And then they could get their house in order. They could make sure that they'd got food ready and everything would be just right. But, you know, obviously they, in those days, you know, they could be, their journeys could be set back by weather or calamity. They weren't sure when they would arrive in a particular place. So it was really important that they sent a messenger ahead of them to make sure that everything was prepared for their arrival. So what's that got to do with John the Baptist? Well, ever since the creation of the world, when Adam and Eve first sinned, the Lord promised that a saviour would come. And that saviour, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would restore humankind back to God. Those who were willing to repent and believe, they could be reconciled with God. And this promise that there would be a saviour that would come was repeated and renewed all the way through the Bible. You can think of those passages that sometimes we read at Christmas in Isaiah and Malachi of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come as a bruised reed, that he would come as Emmanuel, God with us. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace was going to come. Malachi tells us that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And these clues, if you like, these announcements that the Saviour would come were given to Abraham, to Moses, to David, because this was going to be an important event. And actually, if you're a Christian or not, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth just over 2,000 years ago was the most important event that has ever happened in the whole of history. And this event was going to begin with a messenger who was going to announce the way, who was going to announce that people needed to prepare for the Lord. This messenger wouldn't be a sort of beautifully attired person, somebody in a stunning uniform with kind of gold braids and a hat, you know, this like you get from a royal court, somebody dressed impressively, you know, with a trumpet or something. It was going to be the opposite. This messenger would be a lonely figure, not a sort of religious leader or a learned Pharisee or somebody that had been specially sort of college trained to be a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go ahead and to prepare his way and to be a messenger for him. But John the Baptist, who was a cousin of Jesus, had been set aside from birth and given the task of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd lead a very simple and a hard life in the wilderness. He, as we read in the scripture reading, he would have a diet of locusts and wild honey, very simple diet. He'd wear very simple plain clothes, just animal skins and a leather belt. But this message and his preaching would be so powerful that he would change lives and leave a legacy that no man before or since would have. And as Jesus said himself, that among those born of women, there would be none greater than John the Baptist. So special was he. He'd end up preaching to huge crowds of people who all would flock to hear him from all over Israel. And we read in the reading that all Judea and all Jerusalem went to hear him and all were baptized by him. So what was his message? So what would you expect his message to be? Go home, guys, get the flags out, put on your best clothes, style your hair, put on your perfume, the king's coming, you know, look sharp, tidy up. No. If Jesus had been an earthly king, that might have been appropriate. But Jesus wasn't a monarch like we have today, who's dressed in finery and gold and jewels and, you know, rides in a chariot and was brought up in a palace, you know, untouchable by normal people. Yeah, as you know, Jesus was born in very humble circumstances to a very young mother and a carpenter in a stable with a feeding trough as his bed. He was an asylum seeker in Egypt. You know, he had nothing. He said, "Foxes have holes. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He's not concerned with outward ceremony and pomp and this sort of beauty of the pageant, but he came to speak straight to the hearts of men. And because of that, it was John's job to prepare the hearts of Jesus's hearers. When we think of some of the names that Jesus is called, you know, one of them is the Son of Righteousness. You know, Jesus would shine a light on the desperately wicked hearts of men and call them to himself. And John was to challenge his hearers to turn from their wicked ways, to turn their hearts from their wickedness and prepare them for Jesus's message. John taught plainly about sin and the need for thorough repentance. He didn't shy away from calling out sin where he saw it. He taught that repentance would be seen by its fruits. It wasn't only something that should be said, I'm sorry for my sin, and that's it. It would be something that would need to be proven, if you like, in the way that those people then behave. You know, repentance is not in word only. It's actually something that should be seen in our lives. He taught that there were religious people who felt that their religion would see them gain favour in God's sight. Those Pharisees and religious leaders felt that they had sort of enormous privileges because they were the teachers of the day. They were the ones who knew everything. Therefore, you know, they were somehow special. And one of John's messages was that they needed to have their sins washed away and repent the same as everybody else. They weren't in some special category. And yeah, again, that's a message for us, isn't it? We're not in some special category because we go to Bible class or our parents go to church or, you know, we read our Bibles. You know, we can only be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the key things that John did was to point the way to Christ. You know, that was part of what preparing the way and being a messenger was all about. You know, John was obviously hugely popular. Huge crowds would go and seek his teaching, but he didn't revel in that. He didn't make himself the celebrity and point everyone to him and say, you know, come and listen to me. He pointed everyone to Jesus Christ. And if you are familiar with your Bibles, you know, he made clear that, you know, he was not even fit to untie his shoes. He said, you know, I baptize with water, but as a sign of the need for you to have your sins forgiven, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He can give you new life. He can transform you. I can perform a ceremony, but only Jesus can give you the new life that comes from above. Only he can transform your life from the road to hell to the road to heaven. He also spelt out the horrors of not believing in Jesus, that there is a wrath to come. And actually, that's something that today a lot of churches shy away from. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about the consequences of sin because they think it puts people off. But John was not like that at all. He definitely taught about the wrath to come, about the need for repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, a hell awaits those who refuse to believe. So John's message was a tough message to hear and a tough message to take in. We often don't like to be told that we're wrong and that we need to change, but that's the message that we need to hear. And John didn't shy away from hammering that message home. So how did the people take it? Well, as I said before, they all went and they were all baptized, the Bible tells us. They repented when they heard John, huge numbers of them. They felt ashamed of their sin. And John told them how they could give up their sins. And if you flick in your Bibles to Luke 3 and verse 11 to 14, now you'll see there how he gives some advice to those who are listening to him about how they can change. He answereth and said to them, "He that has two coats, let him impart one to he that has none. And he that has meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed to you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what should we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." So you'll see there that John's teaching was very practical. He told people that they needed to change their way of life. They needed to show love to those around them. And they listened. And they realized that they were totally unprepared for the new guest that was coming. Their hearts were totally unprepared for the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said, many were baptized. Many took John's message so seriously, they wanted to show it publicly by being baptized. Baptism is an excellent picture, isn't it? Those of you who don't know what it is, it's the submerging of an individual under water and then back up. It's an excellent picture of how we must die to sin, be washed, and then to stay clean. They looked to the Saviour, these people. John taught that whilst they were repenting and being baptized, that showed that they had the right attitude of heart. But these had no power to save their souls. And he urged them to keep seeking after the Saviour who could wash away their sin and their guilt and give them a renewed heart and a new life through the Holy Spirit. So, that was it's an interesting point, isn't it? That it's not in the ceremony that you're saved. It's not in the actual act of being baptized. That is a picture of what is going on in your heart. And he was saying that he didn't have the power to impart that Holy Spirit, that change of life, on his followers. But he pointed them to Christ, who could do that. So it was during this time that Jesus appeared from Nazareth and began his earthly ministry. He approached John the Baptist and asked for himself to be baptized by John. Well, so what does that show us about Jesus Christ? The fact that he asked John for himself to be baptized. Well, firstly, it shows that Jesus was obedient. It shows his obedience. He willingly underwent baptism as a mark of his obedience and his humility. How different the Pharisees were, who felt that they didn't need to do anything because they were already good enough. Christ, even though he was sinless, was prepared to go through that ceremony to show how we should go through it too. It shows us his kindness. As I said before, he had no sin that he needed to wash away. He had no guilt that he needed to be taken away. And yet he submitted to this act alongside those who were foul and unclean, those who were sinners. So few people on earth would do that, would go and humble themselves so amazingly alongside people who were so sinful. It shows us a little bit about his divinity, that he was God. He was so unassuming that not even John realized that he was the Messiah. So when Jesus went to ask John to be baptized of him, not even John realized that Jesus was the chosen one of God, the one who he was preparing the way for. It was only after that, when the heavens opened and the dove descended and he heard God's voice, that he realized that Jesus was the Son of God, that here in his arms in the River Jordan with him was that mighty God, that chosen one, that Messiah who'd come to take away the sins of the world. And, you know, it wasn't until he heard that voice say, "Here is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," that he realized that here he had the Messiah. And finally, in this section, it tells us about his readiness to die on Calvary, his obedience in going to be baptized was not his only example of obedience. Jesus will be obedient to the plan of salvation and give up his life like a ransom for many. He'd take away our sins because he loves us. And this dying, this picture of dying to sin, it's also a picture of what he would do on the cross, where he took the punishment that we were due for our sin on himself because he loves us. So finally, just before we close, what's the lesson for us? So we learn about John the Baptist and about how his message of repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we should be preparing for, something that we should be thinking about, something that we should be ready for. But in a way, all of your Sunday school and Bible class teachers are like John the Baptist. As a Sunday school teacher, we've got a role to play just like John the Baptist's. Like him, we urge you to think about your soul and the state of your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ, how unfitted you are to face God if you don't believe in him. We talk about sin and about how to recognize your sinfulness and how to be, you know, ashamed of it and have sorrow for it and to look to the Savior who gave himself that you might be washed clean and pardoned. So in a way, we are like that voice in the wilderness crying to you, prepare your hearts for the coming again of the Lord. The Bible teaches very clearly that Jesus will come again, that he will come again to be the judge of the living and the dead. We will all face that judgment seat of Christ. And the question for you is, are you ready to face that judgment? Is your heart prepared to face that judgment? Is Jesus Christ on that day going to be your advocate, or is he going to condemn you to an everlasting hell away from him? It's a somber message. It's not one that we, you know, like to dwell on, because, you know, believing in the Lord Jesus has so many positives, so many blessings, so many encouragements, but we wouldn't be doing our jobs properly if we didn't warn you about the consequences. And that's what this series is going to do. It's going to be talking about those gains and losses in following the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening. Think carefully about that message. Think carefully about whether your heart is prepared for the Lord Jesus. And do follow, have a look at the sheet. Do that reading plan. And wish you all the best with that. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much for the example of John the Baptist, how he came with that strong message that we need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to prepare for his coming. And Lord, please help everyone here who has listened to this message to prepare for the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming again. Lord, may we repent of our sin. May we believe in his name. Lord, we know that believing is so wonderful. It gives us so many blessings and so much comfort. And Lord, we pray that you will help each one of us over the course of these lessons, Lord, to really see the huge gains that we can benefit from in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for a blessing on each one as they go back to school. And Lord, we pray that you may bring us all together again one day soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you for listening. As I said before, the church is open for services on the Lord's Day. We'd love to see you if you'd like to come with any of your family. Bring a mask. We meet at 11 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the evening. If that's a bit too much for you, you can follow us on YouTube. So search for East Dulwich Tabernacle on YouTube and tune in to the services there. It'd be great to have you along. And please make sure you do the quiz and test your understanding of last week's lesson. And stay safe until we meet again next week. Take care. Thanks. Bye.